Yesterday was Charles Manson's birthday.
Oh, our favorite guy. Hanging out in grandma's basement, having fun with all of our friends. You can't spell basement without men, and you gotta keep it down when she's going to bed. Yeah, hanging out in grandma's basement. Welcome to Grandma's Basement, everybody.
Oh, boy.
All wow. Right. That's the kind of applause we expect.
So, yes. Yeah, it's been a while. It's been a few months. Last one for this year, I guess.
Yeah. Anyway, I am Derek. That's Kent, the guy I'm pointing at.
You can see it through. You can see it.
When this is on VR, everybody's going to be able to see who's pointing at.
360 VR. But guess who else we still have for the last episode?
Tell us.
This guy right here, Evan Okeson, hailing from parts unknown.
Hey, Evan.
Or, you know, just down the street, something like that. I don't know.
It's up to the listener to decide where he's from.
Yeah, small town,
and,
USA.
CJ, tell us who you are.
That is not dead, which can eternal lie. For with strange aeons, even death too may die. I've been reading too much Lovecraft lately, so
CJ.
So good thing we told you that was CJ. Oh, we'll get back to your Lovecraft and Bill. That's it. So let's get back to that Lovecraft.
Hey. That's not nice.
I know.
You know how hard it is for me to get away to do these things now?
We actually do.
We do know, but I don't know if everyone knows.
Everybody, let's have a good little clap for Bill because he's here.
Yep.
For the last episode,
wait.
I was a little worried.
Sorry, Kent. That's what by little clap, do you mean I have to have little hands? So I have to be Donald Trump and just. Sorry, I had to sneak that around there.
We'll get there.
I had to sneak that one in.
We'll get there.
No, Bill.
Charles James.
James is not my middle name, Kent.
It is now.
Kent Clark.
It's Jamiroquai.
Can we say that Bill has kids?
Yes, Bill does kids, plural, second on the way, yes.
Nice
work.
Oh,
yeah, I don't think that ever came up in any previous episode.
Yeah, we had Baby's Daddies.
Season one. Season one, like episode like two or three, or that was
early on.
Yeah,
we learned
I guess callback is in order.
We learned dad jokes.
Update on the episode.
Still telling bad dad jokes.
Let's hear one.
What do you got lined up?
Okay. How do you fix a broken pumpkin?
I don't know. How do you do that?
A pumpkin patch.
See?
Still rocking them.
I've got one for you. What did the mother vampire say to her kid before it went to college?
What did?
Don't forget to bite. So, how about that Lovecraft then?
I just don't even know anymore. I'm questioning my entire life after that joke. There's that.
The worst part is I just got it.
That's one that you get on the way home.
That's one you take home with you.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, you know, we call that one a thigh slapper up here.
Thigh? I thought it was knee.
Well, you know, my knee's not so good. If I slap it, I might get a little limpy during the winter.
Yeah, and we're up north too, you know.
All right.
Limpy. Anyways, how about that Lovecraft?
I don't know. Apparently, you guys play some sort of secret game together about Lovecraft.
We play an amazing game, which if any of you want to play, please do because it's awesome. Call of Cthulhu is a wonderful game. Anyone should play it. You can buy the PDF on chaosium.com.
First shout out.
I actually feel obligated to do that because the company has almost failed like 5 times and they make really good games. So,
oh, really?
Yeah. So, if you're at all into role playing, if you're into horror literature, especially Lovecraft, seriously, buy the 6th edition PDF. It's like $20. It's a good time, wouldn't you say, Kent?
I actually have always been interested in doing these games. I've known people that kind of do them here and there, but yeah, I mean, you invited me to do it, and it's fun. Like, it's fun to be creative, because it feels like you're playing, like, a video game. I love video games, but you're just hanging out with actual people.
And the shit that comes out of my mouth. So I'm the game master, sure. Dungeon master.
So it is like D&D or something.
I am looking for the key a little master. Bit,
but it's less complex than D&D is. So instead of doing a lot of die rolls, it's more about you saying what you're going to do and die rolls on very specific actions.
Okay.
So it's more about saying, okay, I'm going to go to the library and look into what's going on in this old haunted house or whatever it is. And actually, like, looking at the books like you would do in real life. And the campaign we're running through is actually one I wrote, which is kind of X-Files-y.
That's
kind of
cool.
Like, you've only played... There's only been two games of that one.
I only played one game of the story that you wrote.
And the first one was a lot better because everyone was there. So, yeah. It's definitely a good time. And
wasn't there.
How would you... have you ever played... I'm thinking, like, what comes to my mind would be, like, Mansions of Madness.
Mansions of Madness is actually,
it's like a tile.
But, like, as far as the gameplay goes and what you're able to do, how would you say this would compare to a game like that that is a lot more structured, say, in the physical gameplay aspect of it?
This one requires more imagination. So, unlike some forms of D&D, so sometimes people just play saying what's going on. Sometimes they'll play
no
with
miniatures. Yeah.
Call of Cthulhu is generally played without miniatures, which requires a lot of
Sorry, we had some sort of weird noise interference in the headphone, which was this.
Hear that knocking?
I thought there was like a knock at the door that we were. Okay.
Because it was fairly
consistent.
We'll fix that in post.
No, let's leave it in because this is mysterious.
It adds.
Oh, that's right.
Just okay. Like Lovecraft.
It's the new Jaws theme.
Anyways.
Thanks.
Now it's just.
It was more like.
That's pretty mysterious.
Once upon a midnight dreary, as I pondered weak weary over many acquainting curious volume of forgotten lore.
You were so off
as I nodded
there.
Nearly napping, there came a tapping as though someone gently rapping.
Interesting.
At my chamber door. Anyways, back on topic.
Is that you rapping over there?
Yeah.
It might have been me bouncing my leg, but we'll see.
sir, I do say, you can rap. Anyway,
back on topic, we've all been drinking, can't you tell? So
never
do. What was the last question about? Oh, yeah. So because it doesn't use miniatures, and so in comparison, like Mansions of Madness, it requires a lot more imagination.
So it's much more like the standard, I guess what you would call the more modern D&D gameplays, because if I remember correctly, D&D, you can lay out on the table.
Yeah, D&D modernly uses miniatures, from right. what I understand.
I think you could right off the bat, too. Like, there was, like, a board game that use with
I
it.
I know that I've seen it. Yeah. I haven't necessarily seen people play it, but, you know, there's a number of, like, I don't know what you call them, dive sort of arcade shops and gaming places, especially around here.
Yeah, yeah.
That will Pegasus have that games. Stuff laid yeah. out already so that you get an idea of what's going on.
Sure.
And I've always been intrigued by that, but never financially able to play.
Well, Call of Cthulhu is more about the storytelling capabilities of
right.
of the Keeper. So that's really what right. it is. Can I tell a story? Generally, I can, but when I improv shit, which you guys make me do all the time, Kent, because you go and ask people, certain people who I didn't pre-plan, you ask them questions. And so random shit comes out of my head, like Fred. Like they went to this library, and there's this librarian named Fred who's just like, hi. Hi.
It's just a weird librarian.
Sure.
It's okay. It's a thing yeah. where you can just like make up.
Yeah, you can okay. make it. You can make up and fill it in. And since you know I'm prone to very strange things
yes.
Coming out of my mouth,
yes,
it's very good for me.
Mr. Meatloaf. Callback.
It's not meatloaf, Kent. It's bread loaf.
No, it's meatloaf. Bread loaf.
Speaking of bread loaf.
Yes. Oh, anyways, speaking of meatloaf. Every time I think of the word bread loaf, I picture that stupid bread loaf guy.
So every time you see a loaf like of bread,
a lot of the time
he's as plain as white.
I try not to think of them as bread loaves. Now I'm just like, that's bread. That's bread. All it is. And if someone's like, bread. Hey, can you get that loaf? I'm like, ah.
I'm glad to know I've ruined bread for you for the rest of your life. It makes me happy.
Well, this podcast is about everyone ruining everyone's life.
So. I have a question for you. Why are you into theater set design, and why is your name Beowulf? Anyone seen that commercial? Damn it. It's like some guy with a tablet, and he's like, hi, my name's Beowulf, and I'm into set design.
Oh, I have seen that, yeah.
It's like,
who the fuck names their kid
Beowulf? I know.
Beowulf?
I get so mad about it. Like,
some douchebag. That's a douchebag name.
Okay. Well,
like his parents had to have way too much money. It'd just be like, because you know, it's like one of those hoity-toity names because it has precedence. It's like naming your daughter Persephone.
Ooh,
it's like a cool name.
We just lost
not,
half our listener.
It's not too weird.
She probably lost half her clothing?
Come here, Persephone and Beowulf.
We'll name her Hermione. That way, we get more people back. Relates with
you've
got to
know what are the hottest baby names right now.
Well, the one I wanted actually, I guess, has been popular for about the past 10 years, which was Olivia.
Not a bad name.
It's totally overused now, right?
Amanda thought we were going to have a boy, so she was really set with the name Oliver. So, I mean, you know, being the loving, caring husband I am, I tried to figure out the female version of it, Olivia.
Okay.
I'm glad you figured
it's not a bad name,
out.
But yeah, it is
and then, as wives usually do, shoot you down. Shot.
Oh, don't get married.
Are you going to do a strange name like Willoughby?
Willoughbeast?
Willoughby.
She's going to be Willoughbeast.
Like, I don't know if she's a wallaby or a wildebeest.
Yes, Willoughbeast is taking his afternoon tea
or
out on the
willow
veranda.
Tree.
I don't know, man.
Willow tree? Like hyphened?
Or do you just go with Mary or something?
No, Amanda wanted to go literary on it, so that's what we ended up doing.
Oh, okay. So sad.
Man. Yeah, well, I mean, it's not a bad name. Madeline Harper. I don't think it's too bad.
Not terrible.
It's old-fashioned.
Madeline, I think, is definitely a name that Maddie might be popular.
She'll be Maddie by short because my current daughter is named Amelia, but we call her Mia. So we're going to have Maddie and Mia.
You got to stop naming your daughters like potential hot names. Like, that's the trick here.
Well, I mean,
at least he's not naming them after gemstones.
If you name your kid like, obviously Gertrude or Bertha or something, you don't have to worry about him getting pregnant, you know?
I mean, come on. You've been after my sister since she was like 12. So what's to stop you from starting now with my new daughter?
I didn't say that. Wrong.
Hey. Let's not get into Trump territory here, everyone.
Yeah, children.
Derek always
we're living in a
brave
new world, everybody. It's,
thank you, Aldous.
Waiting for her to turn 18.
I mean, that's something you do to your friends, though, who have sisters, I think. You just say that. Kind of
wait, you mean creep on
their
sisters?
I've had to grow up with that crap.
That's what you do? So that's the way you live your life? Just be like, that my friend's younger sister, she's gorgeous.
If you ever had like a friend in high school or something whose mom was like attractive, you're telling me you were never like, yeah, exactly.
Okay, all right. So
it's the other way, so it's gross. But
I've got a buddy whose mom we like us the guys, right? We, you know, we're young guys, and she was one of the like cool moms. You know, she was like you know, always talking about shit that like, you know, we were kind of interested in. She was pretty like up to date on what her kids were doing, like really good friends with her own children, and so by proxy good friends with their friends. And so we would, you know, overtly hit on her in front of our friend because we knew that it made him uncomfortable.
Right,
but
exactly.
The best part is that she would just go right along with it, you know. And like, I actually remember there was one point, I think I might have been like, it was either 14 to 16, somewhere in there. And we walk in the house. She's sitting on the couch. I plop down right next to her, put my arm around her.
and you know, said something along the lines of like, you know, hey baby, I'll treat you like a real man. You know, just being like we had been doing this
wait,
for
wait,
so
wait,
long.
You're gonna treat her
point.
Like she's a real man?
No, I'm like.
I'm sorry, I couldn't resist.
You just ruined a perfectly good story. No.
I think that was a proper injection of that joke.
I really couldn't help it.
Either way,
CJ,
he clarified that. Thank
well, either
we
way, I can't fully remember what I said to her, but her response was, "Oh, Evan, I'll show you a thing or two when you turn 18." Now we all like lost it because we were not expecting a response like that.
Sure.
And she was, you know, my friend's mom. It was absolutely hilarious. We were all dying. He was redder than a strawberry or a tomato. I mean, it was great. It was great.
Or an Indian.
Whoa.
Sorry.
You're on notice. Yeah, one more of those and you get the penalty
strike
box.
One.
That's a new. That's a good
strike
thing.
One,
notice.
I think it's been 20 minutes. That's an inside joke.
No, but okay, so fast forward to my 18th birthday, and she like wrote me a letter or whatever, and like, you know, it was basically apologizing that she wasn't actually going to be able to like see me on my birthday, because later I found out that she had actually like started planning out this whole thing where she was going to invite me over to her house. She was going to have a desk set up and then like an apple. And then I would sit down, and then she would just start giving me, like, a sex ed class or something. She was going to literally
hilarious.
Teach me something. And so, like, going back, you know, the few years when she said that, the joke kind of came full circle. And it's just one of those absolutely hilarious moments.
That's so funny, man. I wish that had happened, though.
She's
like,
cool.
Right.
She's cool. Like, she's cool. Like, we're still friends
right.
with her
well,
and everything.
No, but,
like,
but it's one of those stories where someone tells it, and you're like, did you steal that from Penthouse? Because it kind of seems like that
right, no,
should
that,
be
like,
in the forum.
Well,
right
that's
there.
What she—that's what she had kind of come up with was an idea like that. Except she had taken it on that parent level of, oh, I could teach you a thing or two, and then I turn 18, and she's literally going to get me like a book,
yeah,
and like class dude, reading moments
like,
with a chalkboard and shit.
The,
like
the
it was,
funniest,
she like. Told me that that's what she was planning on doing, but just never got around to actually being able to set it up because she wanted to. It was going to be, you know, hilarious.
If that had happened, yeah. You would be a sexual dynamo.
We weren't going to bang.
No,
Jesus
but
Christ.
the funniest thing would have been if you showed
you're
up.
Taking it far too far.
If you showed up and she's
I mean,
got
that's
like
all
soft
the gin
music
on,
and there's like candles burning, she's wearing like some lacy outfit,
right.
And you're like, oh my god, this is happening!
And
I can't believe it.
There's
and
like
then
a desk.
You go
and
in,
everything.
She's like, here's the desk, and you're like, okay,
fuck no. Yeah.
Flips the lights on. She's like, turn your page to 23.
Yeah, yeah.
I'd be like, what?
Please turn to page 23, paragraph 4. We'll be reading together.
Yes, I'm going to ruin the next 4 years.
She
of
pours
your
you like
life.
A glass of wine or something. You're like, whoa, this is crazy. And then
yeah,
like,
yeah.
Turns the lights on. She's like, I wouldn't give you wine. This is fruit juice
yeah.
or something.
Sparkling grape juice or whatever.
okay.
Maybe just to scare you, she says, and now we're going to talk about the prostate.
I mean,
oh, God.
Everyone's okay. No. Everyone's okay with the finger up the butt, right?
Hey. I mean,
I'm
is
down.
That the
yeah,
one?
One's not o- that weird, right?
Is that
one,
the worst
one's okay.
Subject
two,
you could really
two I can't
encounter
handle.
Here?
All right, speaking of Trump.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Well, you mean speaking of assholes?
We do have to get to it.
Fingers up the ass. Yeah, you know who that reminds me of.
No, because that'd be pleasurable. So he's just he's like a hemorrhoid asshole.
So here's the one thing I, as a disclaimer, just to anyone.
Trigger warning.
You know, like on the Facebook or in the society in general, if I do think that just everyone should be careful what they say, like for work
yes.
related. I mean, because I'm thinking about like people are like, anyone who supports Trump is a giant asshole. And I'm thinking about it's like,
this is not true.
If your boss did that, technically you just called your boss an asshole. You know what
right.
I mean? Just throwing that out there. So
well,
that
think,
being said,
well, Trump is still an asshole regardless. Well,
that's fine. But
hold on, I just want to like contextually say that this is the last podcast of the year and this happened, so we just kind of feel obliged to talk about it. So I think we're going to the reason
ago,
I want to do it
ago.
Is so we can hopefully reason. We're all kind of on the same page, but I'll
yeah.
let you go. I just wanted to put
No,
that
I
out
I
there.
Just throwing that out there before someone.
Yeah, no, that's absolutely
true. You know, you read on Facebook and stuff. I know it's people saying that. I'm like, that is such a risky thing to post on social media when you just talk about the people that voted, because, man, you could say it about someone you don't know, and it's like,
right,
especially because, well, considering I keep comparing Trump to Nickelback, where every fucking person says Nickelback sucks, yet they sell millions of records and sell out concerts. Same thing. I never meet anyone that's like, I like Trump, yet he won. Of course, we live in a city. And,
I work with, it's actually the general manager of the fine establishment that I work at.
Mm-hmm.
So there's lots of discussion, politics. Kind of got to keep it quiet. But this guy does nothing but talks crap about Trump while listening to Rush Limbaugh in the morning. I don't understand what that is.
Talks crap.
Hashtag never Trump.
Talks crap.
Yeah,
about Trump listening
to Rush Limbaugh.
Well, a lot of conservatives are anti-Trump because,
no,
like it or not, Trump is, yeah, I mean, I Trump, mean, no, 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 I understand. Because Trump is not a conservative.
Nobody knows what he actually is. And that is...
He's white.
He's like the Tommy Wiseau of presidents.
Pretty much.
Another callback.
Episode something.
If anybody knows anything about Trump, for certain...
He's a white male with a full head of hair.
Well, he...
Full.
Full head of hair. And what a head of hair that is. But he's a white male for certain, and I guess whether or not he's rich is up for debate, considering... And I think, you know, no, like, Kent and I were kind of discussing this earlier, and we tried to save it. And as far as, you know, even, like, you guys are saying conservatives didn't like him, and that's true. We can't dispute that. Liberals didn't like him. That's true. We can't dispute that. Who liked him? Well, I guess we'll call it the... middle working class, and
the working class,
and they I don't feel like it's disingenuous to say that, considering that's what they were calling themselves the entire time. And I have to assume that in an environment like this, when you start labeling yourself as such, that is how you want to be viewed, and that is how you want to be counted. And you know, I'm not going to sit here and say that that's every single person that was there. But that's kind of what happened, and I don't know. It just seems to me like, you know, everybody did take it seriously, but for some reason we've gotten caught up in this way of thinking that, you know, it's like, oh, that's so bad, it couldn't happen. It's right. So outlandish. We're so disconnected from reality, and politics has done a very good job of doing that with itself, that everybody thought, hey, that's like the worst possible outcome. No way it could happen.
Right. And I've been thinking a lot about like the most important things that happened in this thing. And it's just like, or the most effective things that happened to make this happen the way it did. And it's like, it's the biggest fault to me is like the media. Like, there's so much information and disinformation out there that to people that don't spend time on this shit, like someone like me, it's so hard to know and who to be upset about. And like, that's what happened here. And a lot of people didn't vote too. So like,
yeah,
but I think that's a very important true aspect. Almost every single time.
CJ.
It's because she wasn't black.
I would have to say, Kent, you're right, especially when it comes to the Republican primary. Trump won that primary because of all the media coverage. It's that simple. Otherwise, we would have seen Ted Cruz, Marco Rubio, or Jeb Bush. However, the most influential person in this election, I think, would be James Comey. Because he that last minute saying, kind of vaguely, we're looking at more emails... That's when the polls started to go down for Hillary.
Yeah.
I think that's where she lost it.
See, that's the thing.
They pulled that call back.
That's my personal opinion, though.
I do agree with you that this was a fucking Hail Mary at the fucking very end, and it worked. I don't think that's the only thing.
Can I just make
point? No, by no means.
Everything working together.
I just want to make a point that's a pre-election, even almost pre-primary. The the coverage just like difference, and I like for some reason I can't think of a better word than that, but the total lack of coverage for a person like Bernie Sanders versus a person like Trump is absolutely insane. And I implore people to do some research on this. And I was listening to I think it was WPR or no, it was Democracy Now. It was Democracy okay. Now. And they great actually show. Had they oh, had a guy on, and I cannot remember his name, talking about that specifically. And it was Bernie Sanders. The clips that they would use of his speech were so short that there is more camera time for Trump's empty podium. Trump's empty podium got more airtime. We're talking live airtime. We're talking just total news time for when that was happening versus basically every single time Bernie spoke. There is more empty podium Trump time. How many times do you think Bernie spoke throughout the course of this entire process? It has to be hundreds.
Sure, oh, sure.
Like upper but, three digits, and then there's more time of an empty podium out there? That's got to be hundreds of hours but, of nothing but an empty podium. That's insane.
There was, I just want to point out another tactic that he had, or that I didn't even think about until he was winning and they brought it up. What was his like campaign slogan?
Make America great.
Okay, what was Hillary's?
Better together.
And then they would throw little things out there like his was always sticking to that, and then hers was like kind of all over the place, more like throwing his name around and like
the Hillary
people stick with that Make America Better thing.
The Hillary campaign was a failure.
Right.
It was. I will admit it. I voted for her, but the whole I'm not going to play into the conspiracy and the rig stuff with the primaries, but they also don't know their base at this point. I think there's a really like even the right base and the populist base from both sides is very similar.
Well, yeah.
And but yeah, the DNC, all that shit, and they appealed to, you know, the neoliberal aspect to the where they've been going for how long. But
well, I mean, at least now, from the perspective of somewhat the unique political views that I have, we're going to see for sure the splintering of the Republican Party. I guarantee it.
He guaranteed it, everyone.
No, seriously, I guarantee
right
it
here
because,
first.
Because yeah. so many Republicans refuse to are going to refuse to follow Trump.
Callback.
That there's going to be one group of Republicans who follow Trump, one group of Republicans who don't, and they're going to clash. We're going to see that party splinter.
Well, we'll see exactly what we saw in the Democratic Party.
I think we're going to see the Democratic Party splinter too.
Oh, more so.
Yeah, more so. But we're going to see the rise, hopefully, of a more socialistic left.
Oh, definitely.
In this country. Because workers of the world unite. I am a socialist.
See, this is the thing about, like,
populism. Actually, if I can quickly just mention that with the mention of the workers of the world, we should expect to see a massive uprise of anti-fascist, like, localized, I would almost go so far as to say in some cases probably almost military and guerrilla groups that are going to start hitting the government very hard very soon.
I feel like...
I mean, however, I feel like... Sorry to interrupt you.
No, Derek, that's fine.
But I feel like that's the wrong approach to actually... I mean, I'm a democratic socialist.
Well, I'm not agreeing or disagreeing with it, but yeah. I'm just saying that that's going to happen.
And I pray it doesn't.
Well, why don't we take a little break, like a maybe like a 10-second
the moderator chimes
and
in,
why don't we come back
in real time?
You're supposed to keep cutting me off, sir, Mr.
Derek,
Mr. Taylor, please.
In real time, it'll be 45 minutes.
Mr. Taylor, we need to take a break. Okay, let's take a little break and come back and talk about what we think might actually happen in the next.
Yeah, that sounds good.
Four years?
24 hours.
We'll do a round robin.
Great.
I'm gonna touch your knee.
Okay.
Are your dad jokes not up to par? Do you find your fatherly wisdom ignored? Are your kids just not embarrassed enough? Contact My Bad Dad's Bad Dad Jokes today. We have bad dads with bad dad jokes for every occasion.
I have to go to a third grader's birthday party this weekend. Will My Bad Dad's Bad Dad Jokes help me impress all the single moms at the party?
Yes, like a piñata, you'll be the hit of the party.
Hey, how do you tell the difference between a frog and a horny toad? A frog says ribbit ribbit, and a horny toad and dad says rubbit rubbit.
My name is Tent Kaler, and I'm a working class construction worker. Friday is bring your kid to work day, and I really need some lines to impress my boy in front of the guys.
Sure, you'll really wrench their funny bone. Just check this out.
I used to pound your mom like a jackhammer. Now I just pound on the bathroom door.
My name's Brad Loaf, and y'all know sometimes when I got a little loafy with me, I get pulled over by those police. Any jokes for me?
Of course, your jokes will be a federal mime.
Did you pull me over because you smelled the donuts in my trunk?
Please step out of the vehicle, sir.
Check out My Bad Dad's Bad Dad...
What if I bring my son to a strip club?
Your humor will surely flash the audience. Just try it for yourself.
Daddy, what are those?
Much better than your mommy's.
Daddy, why are you living at grandma's?
Why don't you ask your new dad, Frank?
Check out My Bad Dad's Bad Dad Jokes today.
Welcome back to Grandma's Basement, everybody. Thank you for that word from our sponsors. We'll be sure to check them out. Give them some love.
You know, that's a very, very difficult fucking website. Say it out loud. I mean, think about it.
Say it out loud, Kent.
My bad dad's 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 bad's.
My bad dad's bad dad jokes. MBDBBBD.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We don't actually know what their website is, though, yeah. So that's the problem.
I mean, we'll figure
it's a bunch
out.
Of dicks.
They neglected to tell us. They might not be on the web.
It might just be
a phone in service.
No.
I mean, or fax. You can fax them.
My bad dad's bad dad jokes. .ru.
No.
There it is.
It's not? I was set up by Snowden.
Well,
that's what they told me.
You're
going
to have to be proactive
release.
About it. You're going to have to look for them. So. They don't just come to you, unfortunately.
I mean, they shouldn't have emailed that to me then.
You just wish that dicks would come to you, but they don't.
I think you're the only one here who wishes for that. Sorry, Bill.
Well, you're sitting next to me. I guess my wishes
come true. All right, next week we have Dick Talk. That was
and
a callback.
Back,
did we have Dick Talk
back.
In an episode? I feel like
I
we had Dick
know.
Talk. Throbbing.
I'm pretty sure this is all Dick Talk because we're all a bunch of dicks. So, and we're talking.
Whoa. I'm an asshole. Thank you very much.
So, we were...
I guess it's four dicks.
Okay.
It's four dicks.
That's enough of this.
Asshole,
anyway, we were talking about...
What were we talking about?
We were
going to
talk about what's going to actually happen now that the election...
Well, what we each...
So, we're
going to
close out...
Predictions for the future?
Yeah.
A little soothsaying.
I mean, it doesn't...
Let's go around.
It doesn't have to be, like, hyper-realistic.
No, just
be, like...
What do you think could happen? What's possible, Evan? Do you want to start?
Oh, well, you know, it's things like this that when you see people after a decision is made like this that are rioting in the streets, you have to expect rioting behind closed doors. And there are a lot of people who are afraid. There's a lot of people who don't understand why those people are afraid. There's a lot of... You know, the rhetoric never changes.
Oh, hey, Bill here from Bad Dad's Bad Dad Jokes. Got one more for you real quick. Donald Trump asked his dad what his best dad joke was, and he said, you.
Thank you, Bill. Nice. That was fantastic.
MBDs, BDs.
So as I was saying, you know, I think we'll be able to see maybe not... soon, at least within this next year, but by, I would say, next year, you know, there's going to be a hard push for black blocs and different communities coming together and forming coalitions to fight this obviously dangerous government. And when you look at how extremely red everything is right now, how Republicans are pretty much in control of everything, and then you look at the extremist views from specifically Pence, it isn't necessarily Donald Trump that we should be worried about. It's who he is surrounding himself with in the cabinet, and that is going to lead to a movement, a true, true grassroots American movement, because let's be honest, anybody that talks down to protesters just doesn't get it. They have been indoctrinated into this sort of nationalist way of thinking that, don't get me wrong, I have nothing wrong with people who love the country and would do anything for it, but when you start saying that the idea of something, that this non-palpable sort of wondrous thought is more important than the lives of the people that make that thought a reality, you don't get it. And we're going to see people revolting against that exact way of thinking. And I don't know if it's already kind of gotten violent. And I really think that as much as we can try to subdue that violence, I can only assume that it's probably going to get worse before it gets a hell of a lot better.
Sure. Who wants to go next?
I can take this one. Okay. So, first of all, I see a lot of people posting on Facebook saying, Donald Trump is not my president. I understand the sentiment. I completely get where it's coming from. I didn't vote for him. 100% not. However, he is your president. That's how democracy works. We have to give a certain amount of respect to that office. I don't know how much respect is due to him, because he's not a very respectable person.
Mm-hmm.
However, those on the left...
Well, the position must be acknowledged.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. Exactly. Like we, myself included, most of us here, I think, on the left, dissent when his views are despicable. Vote against the party in 2 years. Stay strong. If you need to protest. Get out there in the streets. Do what you got to do. Work for whatever campaign you have to work for. In 4 years, vote him out of office.
Yep.
I don't think burning the American flag over this is representative of what is really going on. Nor do I think behaving in an obstructionist manner as the Republicans did for, 6 years? I mean, because they didn't have the Senate and House for the first two. If we act like they did, drain this presidency, not ratifying laws, not voting on Supreme Court justices, shutting down the government, we are just as bad as Paul Ryan. We cannot be bad. If we become bad, then we stoop to Republicans' level. So get up, make your voice heard. Don't let this anger fade. Bring it to the ballot box in the next municipal election, next House and Senate election, and the next presidential election. Don't forget this anger you feel. Use it to fuel your votes.
Well said. You want to move, Ken?
Well, I'm kind of on the same page with both of you guys a little bit. I agree with you, CJ, that I've had mixed feelings over the past few days. I kind of don't like the not my president thing as well, just because while Clinton won the majority, he did technically win with the system that we have set up. This is a learning experience. I think we're all starting to realize this. A lot of us. We all have different views and stuff in this room. And I realized that at one point I was kind of in a bubble. And I'm starting to, reflect on that and kind of change how I approach this. But I think, because there's a lot of talk about, flip the fucking Electoral College on the 19th of next year, or next month. And that kind of scares me. I mean, I mostly because of all this, like, you touched on, Evan. There's a lot of violence that already happened, and he's not president yet. And that anger will build in on itself if all of a sudden, oh, now Hillary's president all of a sudden. I think the lesson that we need to learn here is that he won 4 years. He has to prove to us, his administration, again, I worry more about who he surrounds himself with than who he actually is. I worry about Pence a lot for the safety of so many people I know. But I think the ultimate lesson to be learned here is let this play out and let these people see what they voted for. Sure. And hopefully, and also you touched on, you know, in 4 years, next presidential election, but, and also municipal, but 2018, people need to start voting in everything, because this is how this happened. The right started small. They started locally. And this is, we've gotten to this point that now we have these people in office. We have to start doing it locally too. We have to vote every single time, because you have to start from the bottom and work your way up.
Sure.
And I think that's where we need to go.
I've got just one thing to add. First of all, like all of us here, I just gotta say,
wait. One more joke for you guys here. Hey, you ready for this one? I bet you are. How do you know when you're gonna drown in milk? Nobody.
Well,
when it's past your eyes.
Oh boy.
I'll see you next week.
Well, anyways, I'm mad as hell. I think all of us are, and I think after this election, we're gonna see at least a Republican Party splinter. And then after that, possibly the Democratic Party, which I do not think is a bad thing. That's all I've got to add. That's my prediction. I just hope the Republican Party splinters and the Democrats stay united. Because at this point, they're all we have on the left.
That's a good point. Bill?
Yes.
Other than dad jokes?
You
can do it. I don't care what you do.
Oh, so I'm put on the spot now. Well, I don't know. It's certainly going to be an interesting next couple of years or two. Like, I know who I voted for, and it was not what happened.
well, let's try to narrow it down here.
I voted for Bernie. You know, just write in. Try. Why not? Right?
That's your right.
No, I didn't.
Oh,
I didn't.
Well, I mean, it is
my right to write in. I could write in God, but that would be a Republican vote, so I can't write that in there.
Was that a dad joke?
No,
I like that you're just slipping them in.
I don't know.
Yeah, much like I did once, and now I have a child. But anyways.
Ayo.
See, just like that. It's natural. It's like birth. It's natural. My jokes, they just slide right out of me.
Your vagina.
I don't have a vagina. Well, technically,
so he claims.
Technically, I do own one, though.
Wow.
Whoa. I think that's a Donald Trump
yeah.
view right
are
there.
You sure you didn't vote for Donald Trump, Bill?
No, these are like 1880s rules.
Okay. We didn't know. You're back on probation, or what is it?
I didn't realize.
You're on notice.
You're on notice.
I'm on notice?
I didn't realize it was disco notice. Night.
Let me add, I'll add something real quick. You know, obviously a lot of disappointment everywhere. Well, unless you voted for him, but even then people probably are a little disappointed. You know, like we've been saying, giving him a chance, things could be really shitty in a lot of situations, but for all we know, like it is possible they do a good job, you know? And so that is a reality of it, is maybe some things will get fixed, you know, and even if he acts douchey and says stupid shit, for all we know, some things could be fixed.
Well, to the point,
I think it's fair to give him a chance, like we said.
Well, to the point on that, I was actually making this comparison the other day that, you know, it's like Trump to America could very well be the Schwarzenegger to California. We could have a very similar situation in which you have somebody who, for lack of a better term, is like a political meat puppet, mm-hmm. you know, which I guess, you know, Trump may be a puppet. He may also be absolutely brilliant considering the remarks that he's made about if I were to run, I'd run Republican because Republicans are dumb, and he could play on that, which leads me to think that some of the decisions that he's even made now have, you know, gone back on what he said before, and he could be that sort of wild card that he lets the Republicans think they control him, and then just, boom, all of a sudden, he makes a very far left decision. Just out of, like, they never see it coming, and because they don't see it coming, it happens, and there's nothing they can do about it. Now, that, of course, is yet to be seen, but I get the feeling that it's very likely that we might see some incredibly left singular decisions made, but I do know for a fact that because he's going to surround himself with those kinds of people, it's all going to be to the right.
Sure.
Anything that he does is going to be on him, probably executive, and we'll see what happens. You know, it's just like a wait and see moment, and I think that's why everybody's in such a panic right now.
Right.
Yeah.
Everyone's in a panic all over the place, and like all the conversations I have, and we're all just in wait and see because this has really never happened before, but it is a telling moment, and again, playing into how I feel this is going to go down, like, maybe Trump is this guy in there that's just going to fuck everything up, even for the people that he surrounds himself with. Like, yeah. He's a
or
crazy
insults
person.
Country or something, yeah.
Well,
that's the biggest thing. Is his worldwide politics, his international sort of just relations in general. I want to put, like, a fancy word on it. Big old fucking question mark right there. Nobody, right. It scares me how close it seems he is with Putin and Russia.
Mm-hmm.
Because the way that I view that is you got Donald Trump, who's that rich kid on the playground, kind of snooty, nose up in the air, he's better than you. He probably won't actually, he's the all talk, no game, but he's very good at talking, which yeah. is the game. Mm-hmm. Then you've got Putin, who, you know, hey, buddy, you won't, you know, dare me to punch that guy in the face, and if I do, you got my back. They're pair of guys. If you can think back to your days in school, there's that. Those people find each other. The I'll punch him in the face, you got my back, regardless if he's wrong or right.
They're bullies.
Right.
Right.
And that's the issue here is that it's just like you've got these two guys who are all about themselves, are all about the power that they got now, and
no
all
trouble.
Of a sudden they're like friends. Like it scares me. That scares me.
I mean, I'll also point out the fact that to all those Christians who voted for Trump, notice how he's essentially the description of the fucking Antichrist in Revelations. Does that not
Donald Trump himself?
Yeah, because he's a charismatic man who convinces people to vote for him on no substance, and he is at heart provably a bad guy. He does not represent your Christian values. I'm sorry, if you're Christian and you voted for him, why didn't you listen to a fucking Pope? I'm sorry, I'm very mad about this, but the Pope said we don't vote for people who build up walls.
Right.
We don't vote for those who cut ourselves off from other people.
Quick question. Why is there a wall around the entire Vatican City?
Because it was historically a city-state within Rome in Italy, which was a warring country.
Thing.
Yeah, it's its own country.
Now, clearly,
Mr. Pope, tear that wall down.
Well, no, I get what you're saying. That's absolutely true. It's like, don't build walls. Okay, fucking bring these ones.
It's a different kind of wall, but yeah, I know what you mean.
Personally, as far as the church goes, I don't think that there should be any political validity held.
No.
And I mean, God damn it. There was a church that gave, they gave a ton of money. Nearly $1 million for for marijuana prohibition. The church decided to give like six digits, and it's like that like that right there, a lot of people would probably be like, oh, I don't see the problem. But it's like, if you don't understand secularism and if you don't understand the separation of church and state, that I, of course, understand that you don't get it. But if you do understand those things, that should piss you off.
Speaking of that, California, it's now California, Nevada, it's legal, and right?
Maine, and also Arizona.
Vegas.
When
is
it just
going to
become
again
nationwide at this point?
Well, Wisconsin's going to be the last, and I'll tell you when that with 100% certainty. Yeah. Wisconsin will be dead fucking last, and for I don't know why Wisconsin Scott seems Walker to be the bastion, but like I get that.
It's more
like
than
don't
that.
Don't like what I'm saying is I don't understand how we got that perfect bad guy. That Wisconsin is just this dead hole.
Gerrymandering.
I know how it happens. I'm saying why.
I know. Yeah.
Why? Like,
it's going to be to the point where it gets comical, where it's like one state away in the same country, you can go into a store, buy it, and then in another state, like right over a line, you're going to prison, you know, or something. Like,
what's the opposite of Christopher Reeves?
Christopher Walken.
Kids don't know who those are. Kids won't get that.
No, I just, I don't know. I think, you know, that's the thing is that my, you know, I try really hard not to get overly passionate about issues that make me angry, particularly concerning my secularism. I truly, truly believe that the world will progress forward if we stick to spirituality, but get rid of organized religion in the sense that now we have this institution. Hear me out. Now we have an institution that has essentially conquered a country. They're very, like, I'm not saying that they've conquered the country, but I am saying that they get to dictate how we live our lives, what we have access to. They get to control everything, and you can't tell me that they're – you cannot trust a person who follows a doctrine of morals like, say, the Christian faith or other religions that have those things like bullet-pointed out and written down so as to be taken – possibly literally. We have Ten Commandment statues in front of municipal buildings. This is one of those things where it's like you cannot expect them to not, you know, make their laws based on their laws. And that's I think the problem is that this sort of thinking can get really violent because look at already the way that it goes against women and ethnic folks.
Oh, yeah,
and it's
definitely
disingenuous to everybody at a point.
The hypocrisy of the Republican Party is standing up and saying, we will not have Sharia law in this country.
And
what the fuck is Sharia law? Banning abortion is Sharia law. It's Christian Sharia law.
I mean,
it's
analogous.
Form. Yeah, it's analogous. I mean, logically, the same thing. You just
yes,
call it
and that's
name.
Our vice president. Like, yeah. This is the problem. One of the biggest problems I had with this, and I know it. We live in a world where there's just so much crazy shit. When you say something that might seem unrealistic, like Trump getting president, a hyperbolic statement, like. There were people saying that you're going to vote for Trump, but Pence is going to have more power. He says he wants to be like Dick Cheney, for fuck's
the
sake.
The biggest dick in our history.
Shooting people in the
and
face
now
and
he's
getting
taking,
away with it? Me
and now,
too.
And now he's taking over the transition team, and that's the one thing I'm on. I touched on it before, but I'm just so worried about the fact that Donald Trump is just going to be this character.
Yeah.
Big and league. Then crazy fucking shit is going to happen behind the scenes.
I would like to mention, for the record, I don't necessarily think everything will be okay.
Yeah.
I mean, like what I mentioned, that we have to give it a chance. I mean, yes, there is the chance. But
it's a wait and see moment, and it's like you can sit there and wait and see more, wait and expect things to go your way, which clearly clearly the people that voted for Trump at this point, I do not blame them at all for being up on their high horse. I don't, because they had to tolerate 8 years of just hating it, and now they're on top. But what I fucking cannot stand is this whole, well, you're just a bunch of butthurt, liberal, millennial, not working, and just you need to get along now. You're the one who's been slinging the N-word around and saying you're going to lynch our current president, and now burning the flag is treason? I thought death threats with effigies of the president were fucking treason. Where the fuck is the equality in that?
Well, it's a double standard.
If we can't have an equality of opinion, dude, if we can't have equality of opinions, which, like, I understand that there is a spectrum here where you start pushing that, pushing out on the edges of that, and now you're being
like a Maoist,
racist, and you're being sexist, you're being classist, all of these other IST words.
Sure.
And the problem is that we don't seem to want to tone it down, because I think there's been too much put on individualism now, which I get it, I'm totally for it, but we need to exercise and advocate for actual group discussion where we're not just calling each other libtards or Republicans.
Sure.
Absolutely.
Well, we do have to wrap this up. This is the season finale of Grandma's Basement podcast show.
For the year 2016, the year of our Lord.
Let's end this on a fun note. What, everyone just go around, say a few words to just sum up the episode.
Start with me?
I could start.
I don't know.
Tent Kaler? Tent Kaler is a true American hero.
As Tent Kaler, I agree with that. And I'd just like to say that it's been an interesting year doing this, and I know it's been a while since we did our last episode, and I'm looking forward to what we do next year.
Yeah.
And we have plenty of fucking weird-ass recording bloopers that we'll make another episode out of, and I'm sure it's going to be stupid.
It's a good 60-minute podcast worth.
Perfect. Do you have anything to add?
I just want to say that I think it's... I'm
excited for that.
You know, this is something that I really enjoy doing with you guys, and I feel like, you know, activism starts small, and this is something that we've started, and, well, not necessarily we, but brought in and cultivated gotten our hands dirty. Everybody in this room has contributed, you know, a fair amount, some more than others, but everybody that's here gets to have a voice that I think... it makes me feel better.
Right.
I feel good. I get to sit down in a room with like-minded individuals, and I really hope that this gets out
but
to
we also
other
have
people.
Differences.
And we do. Everybody, we all might be within the same realm, but we're all different in how we perceive the world. Our levels of humor are similar but different, you know. Mm-hmm. Bill's over there doesn't give a fuck. Kent's got to yell at him all the time. It's great. It's a
and we all have different colored little socks on our microphones.
Yay, different colors.
I'm unprotected.
But no, you've got the
dental
dam.
Yeah,
he's got the dental dam. But I would just like to say thank you to anybody that does listen to these, and thank you to you guys for allowing me to be a part of this. And it just, this is the kind of stuff that will make the world better.
Gotta laugh, gotta be serious.
I'd say fight. Keep fighting. Fight with your vote. Fight by volunteering your time. We're not a nation of violence here, or where the left is not the violent ones. Let's keep the right as the bad guys who are doing things like taking over fucking nature preserves for some reason. Let's keep them being the violent ones, because then we're going to come out of this no matter what the fuck happens, even if we're sent to a camp.
Dude, accountability, man.
Yeah, I mean, like we will be the good guys in history.
Yep.
Let's keep it that way.
Oh, he just gave me a really dark vision of
takeover
where, like, yeah, we're
refugees.
I know. That's like, terrifying.
That's a scary
part.
Yeah. Some straight up sci-fi shit right there. But or other countries.
I would just like CJ to finish that with how much he enjoys the podcast as well.
I mean, I do enjoy the podcast. I have loved being on this. Thank you guys for the opportunity. And I have to finish out the season by mirroring Evan's Hail Satan with a Hail Buddha.
Yeah, Hail Satan.
You did just give me a great idea for a name, porn star name, Tip Railer. All right, go on.
Classic.
Oh, now it's on me.
Yeah.
All right. Well,
final words of the podcast for the year.
Sure.
Oh my god!
This could be the last podcast.
This is gonna make or break the listeners. Next year.
Okay. Well, you know, as the guy who comes in here with the fatherly experience, that older, more mature experience in life. Hey, let's just go with it for now. Please, okay. Just make me feel a little bit.
Yes,
good.
Father
only
Bill.
For the feelings, Bill. Only
take anyways. Us home. What I wanted to leave everybody with was two jokes. I got two dad jokes.
That's two more than everyone
to
wants
end
to
it
hear.
Off.
All right, go.
First one's more of a statement kind of question thing. Hey, Velcro? What a ripoff.
Okay.
See,
okay.
Nobody laughs. That's good.
I don't want any laughter to close this thing.
That's far too much
laughter. No laughter on there? Oh, that's sad. Now I got to find my second joke because you guys made me miss it.
I'm pretty excited for this.
If you want us to laugh, you could just replay.
What?
We'll laugh.
I got one. I got a better take.
Hey, last dad joke. Last dad
this
joke.
It. This is going to be it.
What?
Couldn't handle it.
Do you call a Kent that coughs on the air? Anyways, joke is what? What do you call a cow with no legs?
Ground beef.
That is correct! Yeah! Yeah!
And you win the prize!
That's it!
Oh, happy!
Which is a spot on next season.
Happy New Year, everyone.
You're fired!
And Merry Christmas, Kwanzaa.
Okay, bye.